This pod blast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Fresh out the belly of the island, to the heart of the city, T and them just hit the road. I had Sage and knocking them with me. I thought the fauna was pretty, so I approached her. My first apartment was really covered with roaches, cause niggas was really smoking. Gotta say that as of late, I've been busy with business mostly. Got a tape, catch a wave, now you in the industry, oh
welcome
shit.
Welcome back again, once again, my friends, it's us, the dead, Timothy Robert Buckner, Quentin Moody. Quentin, how you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. I hope that we never have to talk about American independent wrestling, because I'm having way too much fun doing this.
Yeah, it's so funny. A couple, like a day or two ago, when you're listening to this, Pete from This Week in Wrestling was asking me, is there something that we're missing on the show? Is there something we could be covering? Is this and that? And I'm kind of like, I mean, my go-to would say, let's watch more and more obscure shit that no one else talks about at all. But, I mean, why would we do that? I think we'd have a good mix on that show with people, stuff people care about and stuff like that. But also, if we have the option to do this with you, where we can talk about stuff that's more like kind of my, I guess, creature comfort or tickles my fancy, I don't really feel the need to do it over there as well. And obviously, to start out, we're going to talk about European wrestling again. That's kind of our go-to here. We mentioned Damplified a couple, I guess not weeks back, probably about a week back at this point. We both watched it, but that's not exactly why we're here to talk about tonight, is it, Quentin?
No, we both watched Damplified. I know we both enjoyed it, but we're here to talk about Lucha Forever, a company that I think we've, regardless of how much of a piece of shit Ryan Smile might be, or a questionable human being, he's done a pretty decent job, as well as Will Ospreay, of cultivating a pretty decent promotion in Lucha Forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I like the show, and I was going to maybe dance around it a little bit, but we both had reasons to honestly kind of not care for the company or be super excited about it. I mean, it's got two guys, Ospreay, I think you like more than I do as a wrestler still, and Ryan Smile, who we both, you know, have heard plenty of things about what he's like behind the scenes. I've never met the guy, so I can't judge him like that, but I mean, it seemed the name is annoying. For me, I don't like crowning a champion on your first show the way they did in just like a singles match. There were so many reasons, but then as the shows have continued to go, you know, with the silly names and everything, we've both kind of grown to really enjoy it. So yeah, we watched Damplified with the idea we would talk about it, just like we've been talking about Attack. But the same weekend, we both watched this Lucha Forever, Lucha Live 5, I think it was it Running Through Wheat Fields and Other... Is it Deplorable Acts, or what is it?
Yeah, Running Through a Wheat Field and Other... Whatever. It's a long-ass name.
And it's a reference to the Angela... Is it Angela Merkel, the Prime Minister of England, I believe? Had when she was questioned about some things that she may have done in her past that were bad, she said, oh, you know, I ran through a wheat field that I wasn't supposed to run through. I believe that's what the reference is. I'm saying the wrong person, but... whatever, that's not why you're here. So that's what it's named after. That's been kind of a problem with Attack, is they name their shows after topical stuff that's happening right then, and then the shows don't happen until months later, because they're so, kind of, they announce stuff like a few weeks in advance, and then by the time it comes out. From there, yeah, we decided to talk about the show. I guess we should just get into it. I guess that works for me. So we open up with a match that I think we're both super excited for. We got El Ligero versus Kid Lycus, with Lycus in a singles match. I know you were super excited about this match after watching it. I was as well. Quentin, go ahead and give your thoughts on this one. I'll have you start it out.
Yeah, I was really excited going into this, because Lycus, the last year or so, just straight up hasn't had that many singles matches. He's been focusing, obviously, on CCK and the branding and expansion that they're going through now. So I was really intrigued to see Lycos in a situation where he's by himself going against a veteran like Ligero. And I thought these two had a really solid opener. I thought Lycos showed that he can do all of his like high spots, his quick, agile stuff, some of his fancier looking moves, but space it out really well in a singles capacity. And I thought that was like the biggest thing I took away from it. This is that Lycos has a pretty good understanding of how to space out his moves.
Yeah, I think that obviously Ligero is a pro. He's almost to that point where he's toned it back a little bit when it comes to like actual in-ring action, but his psychology is on point. His match structuring is on point, and Lycos here carried the heavy lifting when it came to work rate. So, it really delivered, as you said. Lycos not having a lot of singles matches, I thought this was a good spot for him to get to show off against a veteran and have a really, really good match. I enjoyed this quite a bit, and for an opener, I mean, yeah, exactly what you want. Hot, gets you through everything, fast, and really turns on the crowd for a good night of wrestling. And another thing with the Lucha Forever Attack, these short shows that they're doing in the UK indie scene are like perfect. This show clocks in under 2 hours, I think, as well. Maybe it's a little bit longer. Let me see. Yeah, this just over 2 hours for this total card, which is not bad, honestly. And yeah.
Yeah,
Oh, and
for 7 matches, that's not bad.
no. And actually, I looked it up, and it's Theresa May is the Prime Minister of England. I should know that off the top of my head, but I don't. Sorry, guys. And it was running through a wheat field and other despicable things, because that's what she was asked if she's ever done anything, I guess, despicable or deplorable. Next match after that, we followed up with Omori versus Drew Parker. Now, this is unfair that I'm going to start talking about this one, I guess. So maybe I won't. You know what? You were excited about this match too, Quentin. Do you want to give people the overview of this and overview of Drew Parker? Because I know you're pretty excited about Drew Parker coming out of this and Amplified.
Well, if he's just two guys, I know we're both like really into, and we're both really excited to see what the future holds for them. But I left this match being really impressed by Drew Parker, and I think this guy, only 20 years old, same age as Kid Lykos, Tyler Bate, you know, that group of guys, he's gonna wind up being one of the best guys in the scene. Him and Omari just went out here and tore it up, did some really sound stuff psychologically, great focus on Omari's leg. Some great high spots, actually one of the craziest spots I've seen all year that we'll get into in a second. And these two young dudes just went out there and killed it. And Drew is someone that I think not many people are paying attention to as much since he's only working that Attack Fight Club Pro family promotions. But I think with Lucha Forever and how Lucha Forever is using a whole bunch of those guys, that Drew is bound to break out soon.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a couple shots here and there, but yeah, you're right. I mean, Fight Club Attack is his home primarily, and really just Attack with the EC Drew gimmick that he's been working. But yeah, Lucha Forever is giving him a chance to take the ball and kind of run with it here. He's got a bit of a deathmatch background, but nothing crazy, not even to the level of like Havoc or Clint Margera. He's done a little bit of crazy stuff, but here it comes through in just vicious attacking on the knee, as you talked about. But then, I mean, Omori shows so much personality here. Also, he's pissed off. He's the one who actually pushes the action outside of the ring, chasing Drew to the floor, trying to brawl with Drew all around. They're going up to the balcony. Omori, over and over again, won't just let it go. He's trying to get up to the balcony for something big. Finally, when they do get up there, I mean, you talked about it, the huge spot. Omori takes this giant, nasty, kind of rolling bump off the balcony into the ring. Not super high, but still kind of fucking crazy for this big, lanky, kind of giant kid. What he is, he's just raw bone. I mean, Omori is just so, he's so tall, but still slim. He's honestly kind of a little bit more muscular, kind of Chris Brooks at this point for the way that his body looks. And just takes this nasty bump, but that's not it. After this crazy bump where he lands in the dead man's pose, looking like he just got completely killed, Drew Parker decides he's going to dive crossbody block off the balcony onto him. Omori just catches him in essentially the kind of fall away slam position, which is the setup for his finishing move, the Ozone, which is the fall away slam into essentially like the stalling STO, like the end of days that Baron Corbin does. And he plucked this guy out of the sky, diving off the balcony, catches him like nothing. I mean, there was no hesitation. Whips him around, hits the Ozone, and puts him down. And the look on Omori's face, what he just did, and you can see that even he understands the gravity of what he did. This felt like a character-defining moment for a young man's career like Omori. I mean, this viciousness, this kind of doggedness, and this just kind of like even if it is, you know, it's wrestling and Drew Parker's not this huge guy, I mean, that's an epic fucking spot. And he looked like a big goddamn deal coming out of this. So I thought that this was great. As you said, we're high on both guys. But coming out of this, I mean, we always talk about, oh, the indie scene replenishes itself. Once one guy disappears, there's other guys to take their place. And you never have to worry. But sometimes I do worry a little bit on the American side of things. Because, I mean, when you compare stuff like, I love Desmond Xavier. But right now you compare, let's say, Desmond Xavier to Ricochet. He's not there. You know, he's just really not.
Right.
But on this UK scene, they have guys like Drew Parker, Omori here. I feel like they're ready to main event cards, and they just don't have that chance because there are still guys in the top that are those legacy acts, but they're ready right now to be top guys already. So it's just very impressive. Chris Brooks, Kid Lykus are in the same vein. I mean, they're obviously older.
Kip Sabian, Chris Ridgeway, like...
Yeah, like, there's all these guys that are ready to just break out and get
Ashley Dunn, who hasn't gotten as many chances yet. I think of Ashley Dunn because he's still really well-connected, obviously. He's, like, really good friends with Will Ospreay. If Ashley Dunn is going to get more chances, there's a whole bunch of guys that you could see make a splash real soon.
Right, and Ashley Dunn, actually, I was thinking about it today because I was listening... And I don't even know if I should say it out loud. I'm not allowed to like anything from this website, I don't think. But I was listening to Open the Voice Gate from Voices of Wrestling. And they were talking about the UK scene getting scouted by Dragon Gate. Ashley Dunn was one of the first guys that popped into my mind to say... other people are talking about, you know, like kind of more established flyers. Or even CCK, which I understand why you'd want CCK to get a tour of Dragon Gate. But for me, I think the guy who could really use it is Ashley Dunn. I think as a flyer, his quick pace style, I think him spending a tour as a young boy in Dragon Gate could help him a lot.
Yeah, obviously CCK would come to mind purely because I know they're such big Dragon Gate fans that it would feel really good to see those guys be able to mix it up with, you know, obviously like a Mundai Ryu and the other Rudos or heels in Dragon Gate since they're so clearly influenced by them. But yeah, Ashley Dunn would really benefit from that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, and he's not even the only one. I mean, you look at guys like Beano. There's plenty of other guys who could use that in the more typical role that Dragon Gate does, which is they usually bring in younger, less established talent to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after that, we get into April Davids versus Cheap Deputy Dunn. Davids showed me a lot here. I liked her style. Real good technical work. Dunn bumping and selling for her fantastically, playing up his character. And this, honestly, it made me feel so bad for the way we were talking about Dunn on the attack stuff, because this right here was right where this character should be. This is a sweet spot.
The kind
of upper mid-card, underneath, good heel, solid heel act, but not being treated like the main villain of the company. And he was even working a little bit more serious here than he has been in attack, I think, in some ways. But I thought it was really good. What'd you think of this match, Quinn?
Yeah, I came away from this really impressed with April Davids. I liked her amateur style stuff that she was doing, which is something I don't think I see a lot from the women's wrestlers that I watch. There's some that do it, obviously, over on your side of the country, Nicole Savoy, Shayna Baszler, even Mercedes Martinez to an extent, do some MMA-inspired amateur wrestling stuff, but I don't think I see it a lot in the UK, so I was really happy to see April Davids bust out some throws, takedowns, double legs, even some more slick mat work like a Romero special and things like that. And you're right, Damian Dunn or Chief Deputy Dunn, this is where he belongs. I'm not saying that he isn't a guy that you could main event with. I'm not saying that he's not worthy of those kind of chances, but I think just this act is perfectly slotted in that third, fourth match on the card. The whole anti-fun police thing it gets overbearing if you make that your top act in a company. And I think if you're only using Damian Dunn and not the rest of the group, then he is like perfectly fine being your mid-card heel. He's perfectly fine like being like the Miz of the UK is what I'm saying.
Yes, that is right the spot for him, I think, unfortunately. I mean, And he's still young, and his career could take a twist, and he could, you know, find a character that does fit in a more kind of stereotypical main event role. But right now,
let's just say, like, you know, Pete Dunne, you know, we saw what Pete Dunne did a year ago and where he is now. So who's to say that Damian can't find something that like clicks for him on that scale too?
Right. Okay. So coming out of that, we get what I think was probably my main event of the evening. After the Omori, or at least my favorite match of the evening, after the Omori-Drew Parker match was, I mean, it lacked a little bit of substance, and I could definitely see other people arguing that this tag match didn't have a lot of substance as well. I think those people would be wrong, but I could see where they're coming from. But for me, the Omori-Drew Parker was kind of just a fucking shit show. Fireworks, and it was all about that crazy spot at the end. But this tag team match was just phenomenal. So we've got British Strong Style, Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, which at this point, because of all the shitty trios matches, I forgot that they were a great tag team. At one point, British Strong Style was just a tag team.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I love their stuff with the London Riots.
Yeah,
and against,
exactly.
And against Damian and Tyler when they first formed. I thought those matches were really good, and they were a promising-looking team.
Yeah, so then they come through here, and they're going up against our boys, the Aussie Assault, Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis, and Jesus Christ. The wild brawling to start, where Seven takes Davis all around the building as Dunn is just picking Kyle apart in ring with the arm work and just nasty grinding on him, stomping on his hand, and Kyle is selling his ass off. This guy, he's got that, you know, slender frame, and he kind of holds his body in a way that just looks awkward and painful as he's just getting kicked and beaten and chopped once Trent Seven comes in. And I mean, Trent Seven's just kicking his ass with these big chops and running at him, punching him, and just straight out punches to the side of the head, puts him down hard. I love the flinch DDT a la Arn Anderson that Trent Seven busts out on Kyle in here. And then we get the Mark Davis hot tag. But here it's not even a tag because this is just wild. Almost this whole match feels like Tornado Rules, honestly. I don't think a single person stood on the apron for even a second of this entire match. really, I don't think that there was a clean tag or an apron or anything in this match. Davis comes in and just starts wrecking house. STO into the bottom turnbuckle that looked just so dangerous. I mean, I hate to say it, but it did. It looked like Davis could have hurt someone bad because he just reckless abandon, throwing himself and his opponent back into the turnbuckle super hard. Tandem pop-up pile driver from Davis with the regular pile driver from Seven. Then you turn around and Davis hits the pile driver on Seven there. After that, again, the pop-up Canadian Destroyer by Kyle Fletcher. That seems to be within his repertoire of spots now constantly. The only Triple H bullshit spot was, like, they did some teasing of the water in the beginning, but they used it to set up the heat, and then they do a double pedigree in the middle of the match. Then you go into the finish. The Aussie Assault are able to pick up the Aussie Assault get put down just after getting beat to shit the whole way. Ref bumps, crazy spots, hard hitting. But after it's all said and done, even with the Aussie Assault losing, I feel like they're put over huge as looking like they really stood toe-to-toe and gave British Strong Style a run for their money, which is considered one of the top tag teams in the world. So, yeah, this was fucking phenomenal. Sorry, Quentin, if I took everything on this one, but go ahead.
I mean, this is just another feather in the cap for Fletcher and Davis, who first had a really great match with CCK, and now they're up against Dunn and Seven. And you notice that they're bringing their A game when they're facing people who they should be impressing. You know what I mean? When they're facing Chris Brooks and Lycos, they deliver. When they're facing Pete Dunne and Trent Seven, who are like the head guys of Fight Club Pro and Attack, they're going to deliver since those are their bosses pretty much. And I think every time I see Mark Davis, he becomes one of my favorite wrestlers. Every single match I watch of his, he had a match on the What Culture Rest of the World qualifiers against Travis Banks. That was really fucking awesome. So he's showing that he can do it in a singles and tag capacity. And Kyle Fletcher was just fantastic here, too. It's real wild, so if you're not into, like, the whole bunch of, I'm going to take a turn to hit my strike, and this person's going to hit me with a strike, and then we're all going to sell kind of stuff, you may not like it, but that stuff doesn't bother me. I find it fun most of the time, so I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, and I don't always like that, but these guys, yeah, it made sense in the setting. It's young guys trying to prove themselves to the older guys. Especially as you said, if you know the background story of it, and it also plays into British Strong Style. That's their style. They want to fight. So the only way that this was going to turn into a regular tag match is if their opponents decided that they wanted to make it a tag match with Davis and And Fletcher showed them here that they didn't. They weren't going to back down. So, yeah, I mean, as you said, they impress when they need to impress. That match with Travis Banks on the What Culture Pro Wrestling World Cup was phenomenal. I recommend people go check that out as well. So, yeah, coming out of that, we go into Kip Sabian, Alex Windsor versus Lana Austin, and surprise tag team partner Ryan Smile. I don't have much to say about this match. I didn't really care for it, and I don't think that this match would have gotten booked if it wasn't Ryan Smile's company, and I'm just going to say that and be honest about it. What did you think?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I thought it was decent. I still enjoyed it on some level because I really enjoy Kip Sabian, and I think anything that he watches, I'm at least mildly intrigued by. But yeah, I don't have a lot to add there.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying that the match was necessarily bad. I won't say that I liked it, but, and like saying like, oh, it wouldn't have gotten booked if it wasn't Ryan Smile's company, I don't even mean that to sound like these people wouldn't have gotten booked. I mean this match with it being Alex Windsor, Ryan Smile's girlfriend,
and them on opposite sides.
And they're on opposite sides, and so it's just like an excuse for him to call her a bitch a bunch of times and pretend to hit her as hard as he can a bunch of times. And it got gratuitous to me, I think, in a lot of ways in that regard. I wasn't into it. And I'm not one of these, I can never watch intergender people, but this just, it really was. It felt like it was just an excuse to mess around like that. And it didn't really feel like there was a point to the match. That said, Kip Sabian cut a nice long promo in the beginning, playing off of his character stuff. And that was really the point of the match. Was really just to let Kip Sabian get out there and do what he does, entertaining the crowd on the mic more than anything else. Coming out of that, now this is a match I think could possibly be your match of the show, if I was going to guess, which is Travis Banks versus Bubblegum. Now, am I right in guessing that, or what do you think?
I'm actually not sure. I haven't thought about what match was my favorite, but this is something that I did really enjoy. But we can get into it, though. And maybe I'll figure out along the line if this was my favorite match of the night.
Yeah, this was an interesting one because I think it was really, the dynamic was clearly that, you know, Banks is the kind of the fighter, the stiff striker, but Bubblegum wasn't going to back down on him in that regard in any way. And normally you would expect Bubblegum to try to outquick Banks and use his high flying because Banks is not really a high flyer, but he doesn't. He tries to stand toe-to-toe at times with him with strikes. They trade back and forth with big throws. Bubblegum even kicks out of a Kiwi Crusher at one point. This is a phenomenal near fall. For me, I thought that this was a really good showing. Bubblegum always really brings it, but here he showed that he hasn't missed a step, even if you want to have him have one of these kind of go-go-go, all-action, almost spot-festy, but like super aggressive, strong-style spot-fest. And I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I think this is, in contention. And fuck, at this point, I'm like, how many of these matches on this show were just, like, good to great? Like, this was a phenomenal show all around.
I like how honest this was. I like how they were starting off with some of the mat wrestling, and then Bubblegum just stood up and said, look, we can wrestle, or we can just beat the shit out of each other. And they both kind of like, all right, let's do this, and they just start nailing each other with forearms and chops. So in that regard, I like the honesty, and then try to act like it was building to this big crescendo of a chop battle. It just went straight into it, and Bubblegum is versatile enough where he can hang in that style with someone who's known for it to the degree that Travis Banks is and not feel out of place. So I thought this was a great showing for both guys, and really like when we go from Liguero, Lycos, Drew versus Omari, even Dunn versus April Davids, British Strong Style versus Aussie Assault, and now this match, it's like, man, like this show just keeps delivering in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me, I hate to say it, it reminds me of the early Progress shows where every match was phenomenal. Every match was possibly match of the night. Every match could be in that conversation for, like, maybe not match of the year, but, you know, recommended match of the month over on, or match of the week over on Wrestling with Words. Like, I almost recommended every match on this card, but I kind of pared it down. I'm trying to only have two matches per show that I recommend on that document, but yeah, I mean, Jesus, at this point, I'm like, this show is great. And then we get into the main event. I wasn't even aware the last Lucha Forever show I watched was All Rise with the three-way ladder match that had Haskins versus Shane Strickland versus Travis Banks for the title, and Banks won the title there, and it seems so dominant that I wouldn't have imagined that he would drop the title, you know, just about, I think, a month later, in a show that I haven't even watched yet, to Mark Haskins, who is here defending the belt up against Tyler Bate, who, I mean, we were talking a little bit about the Damplified show. Tyler Bate had just crazy good match on the Damplified show against, and I'm blanking on it right now, so let me just double check.
Against Kyle Fletcher,
that was just another one that really made Kyle Fletcher stand out as a big deal. Able to go toe-to-toe with Tyler Bate in pretty much every way. So with Tyler Bate kind of playing slightly heel, but not really. And yeah, just Fletcher selling and everything. Then he turns around and has this match. He's a pure babyface. Crowds gets behind him from the start more, and I didn't even realize Mark Haskins was a heel. So it just shows the versatility of Tyler Bate going heel, babyface, back and forth. Great match here from Haskins. I mean, just using the same... Haskins essentially using the same style, but kind of upping the vicious strikes, upping the kind of the asshole-y attitude, but still using a lot of his super smooth transitions.
He's like taking kind of cheap shots, even though he's still using his like regular moveset that we've like gotten accustomed to over the last few years. He's taking more cheap shots, which is definitely how you get over someone as being a bit more of a dickhead.
Right. Stuff like the chin, wrenching the chin with the knee in the back and transitioning into the Border City stretch with the knee in the back. It's like little stuff like that where you could see him doing that as a face, but it just looks meaner here as a heel. So, coming out of it, I was just like really impressed with both guys. I thought the shitty finish with Haskins using the belt or teasing using the belt really helps play up the heel character, and I thought, goddamn, like this show up and down was just phenomenal. And the UK scene, I mean, the stuff, I think we're both kind of not as hot on Progress as we used to be, and I'm almost not even as hot on Rev Pro except for the cockpit shows as I used to be. But the underneath scene, the Fight Club Pro, the Attack, OTT, Lucha Forever, I mean, these shows are still some of the best talent in the world. I mean, the only, like, what really comes close, Japan used to, when there was a lot of the kind of freelancers, have the same thing where you could mix the guys up so much more and get a lot of great matches like this constantly.
But, yeah, like the early, mid-2000s, when you had your Osaka Pros and your DDTs and your Toriumons, and even when New Japan and All Japan and all these companies were still on working terms, you just saw so much intermingling that just made these awesome top to bottom cards.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're having right now, kind of on the just slightly less, mainstream UK shows. But I guess I should let you get into this and maybe give some overall thoughts as well, Quentin, before we head out.
Yeah, I thought this was real interesting for the fact that Mark Haskins hasn't really been a heel, as far as I know, since like 2015. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I mean, he really... Oh, geez, probably even... Well, yeah, I guess it would be like 2015. I'm trying to think if it's even longer than that ago, but that's probably right.
Yeah, because Screw Indie Wrestling, I'm pretty sure that feud wrapped up in Progress in 2015. So he's been just working as the Mark Haskins we've grown accustomed to for a couple of years now. So to see him kind of revert back to being a bit more of a jerk, which is how he was starting to get over in the first place, I think is real interesting. Maybe a sign that Mark Haskins knows that he has to change with the times too, and that there are people that are going to be more over. There's new people coming up, so Mark Haskins has to adjust his game to stand out and have more longevity. And I thought he should really show that he can work heel, be a jerk, be a dick, and still be that Mark Haskins in the ring that we love. So I think he really does have that, he has that intent, he has that skill to adapt himself that maybe people didn't know he had.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really smart, as you said, of him to show off kind of all of the sides of his game here. I think the overall scene, while they're, you know, the British Strong Style is seen as the big heel stable, I think realistically they're not... Really, people don't boo them as much as they used to. People kind of...
They're not heels. They're not really heels anywhere except Progress.
Yeah, they're really kind of tongue-in-cheek. And then you got CCK that just aren't heels really anywhere anymore. Except for maybe Attack, and that's kind of tentative. So, coming from that point, it's like, yeah, they're actually kind of heavy on the babyface ledger, or at least when it comes to really, really getting heat heels. And Haskins showed here, I think he gets some goddamn heat. I mean, geez, crowd was firmly behind Bate the whole time. They weren't really booing Haskins, but you could see it would take just a little bit more to push it over that edge, where I think that Haskins could get some real heat in the UK scene right now. And I mean, this might be a sign of things to come. He might be testing out the heel run because maybe that's what's going to be happening in Progress, which I think is probably very likely. So yeah, coming out of this, I think I recommend Damplified. I liked the show a lot, so if you get a chance, I tell people to go check that out. We didn't really talk about it here, but just know that there were some good matches on there. And this Lucha Forever, another one where I think if you're like me and Quentin and you were questioning it to begin with because maybe you don't like the guys who are running the show, give the promotion a shot because it's actually, it might be better than you think.
Yo, yeah, and one more question I have for you before we sign off here. What do you think of the Mark Haskins-Tyler Bate matchup? Because it hasn't really been exploited that much. It hasn't really been booked that much or overexposed. So is that a matchup you would like to see more? Because I feel like these two could really go out there and have some incredible matches, but they're just not in the ring that often together.
Yeah, I think they showed it here in a smaller setting, in a quicker match, like we said. I think that they could continue on. I think that the British Strong Style, Jimmy Havoc, Mark Haskins feud that's kind of going on in Progress can work. I don't know if they need to have him kind of turn heel and have Bate just go full babyface because it's feeling like it, but I think in Progress, if they tried to pull a double turn with these two, I think it could work, and I think that they could have a pretty solid feud. I think, honestly, Haskins is one of my top guys, though, right now. I think that Haskins versus anyone is an interesting matchup for me.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, selfishly, definitely, because these are two of my favorite guys in the world right now, and Haskins is, he's a guy that, like, I could go on forever about, since he's someone I just have an emotional attachment to, and I just want to see him do well, but I would really like to see Haskins, who's been there forever in that scene, work with Bate, and I think that could really up Bate's game in some areas that maybe he doesn't get to show off that often.
Yeah, for sure, and I think that if a lot of the mat grappling, like you said, would be a place where they could kind of show off together.
Well, that's it there.
Oh, what was that?
Yeah, but that's it there. I really can't recommend this show enough. Adding on to what Tim said, if you haven't seen Lucha Forever or you just were hesitant because Ryan Smile and Will Ospreay can be annoying, give this promotion a shot. They book the bigger guys, yeah, but they bring in the smaller names that you may not have seen before and give exposure to people like Kip Sabian, like Drew Parker, like Omari, like Chris Ridgeway, even like a Bubblegum who wasn't working that many places, or most many places that make tape that often. So I would definitely give this promotion a shot.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at LuchaMDead. Follow Quentin at QT_Moody. Quentin, anything else you need to plug?
That's it.